In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our lesson this morning is the epistle for the third Sunday after Trinity and is recorded in the first epistle of Peter, the fifth chapter, beginning at the sixth verse. The sixth verse was inadvertently omitted in the printing, but we start with that. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Humble yourselves. That's the way this lesson begins. And it's another one of those imperatives that we talked about a few weeks ago. It sounds like something that we might be able to do on our own, but it's not. I doubt that anyone has ever really made themselves humble. Not anyone, that is, except our Lord himself, of whom Paul writes, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But for the child of God, this humbling comes under the mighty hand of God, the one who does not cause suffering, but who permits it to come to us so that he will be able to exalt us, that is, to take us to himself in his everlasting kingdom. Now, this humility that we speak about is not a humility that we might identify, say, with Minnesota nice, you know, the one which, when we are guests at a place, it's not polite to come to the table when invited until about the third time, lest one seem to be too eager. And it's not either that aw shucks, twarn't nothing kind of humility either. This humility that is spoken about so often, both in the Gospels and in the Epistles, is the one which recognizes the Lord's perfect righteousness, and it recognizes one's own corruption and guilt, by which we are completely unworthy of God's loving kindness. This humility that leads to exaltation comes when God lays his heavy hand upon us. For the early Christians to whom Peter was writing here, he has in mind some very specific sufferings. That is, that they were living under persecution by the Roman government and by their fellow Jews. By their fellow Jews, they were regarded as deniers of the faith. And by the Romans, they were regarded as a heretical but Jewish sect. But their sufferings, of course, also included those day-to-day sufferings that came upon them, as they do on us, because of our own weakness and frailty, as well as the weakness and the frailty of our brothers and sisters in Christ and others. Surely those sufferings could be warded off by the Almighty, by the omnipotent God. But instead, he lets those sufferings and those persecutions come upon his people to bring about that humble spirit. That humbling can only be the work of God himself. Only God can search hearts. Only God knows when any of us need to be humbled, even though we ourselves very frequently are so presumptuous as to make that judgment about other people. This humility comes by God's word to his people, as it did to St. Paul, who said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Just before this text begins, Peter quoted from the third chapter of Proverbs and said, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And then this humility, Peter proceeds to equate with casting your cares on him. In all the persecutions, despair, the evil deeds of others which hurt and harm our body and spirit, he wants to show us that only when our reliance is completely on his strength and not on our own, that we can resist the devil and all his evil works and ways. The purpose of this heavy hand is that the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that is the promise. That is the promise that he makes to each of you, to his believers, a promise to which we know and trust that he is faithful. What he promises to give us, this perfection, being established, strengthened, and settled, those are, in their richest measures, the joys of heaven and of everlasting life. There we have all those things most fully. Our Lord himself was exalted in his resurrection, so that he made full use of all of the divine powers that belong to him as God's eternal Son. And he promises us exaltation too in our resurrection from the dead to eternal life, so that we have the same perfection with which we were created by God in his creation of our first parents, without the corruption of sin and death, and free from all sufferings, from tears, from sorrow, and from worry. After you have suffered a while, he says, until then, we live by faith in the confidence that what he has promised is so certain that it is now already ours. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.